27. John 6, verse 26 and verse 27. Again, as we examine and look in here in John chapter 6, we had talked about some of these verses last week on Sunday morning. And we want to continue, and we want to look at some of these tonight, looking at verse 26 and verse 27, where Jesus said to them, or answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." You know, there are many questions as we examine things concerning the Lord's church, and we sometimes people ask us, well, shouldn't we offer more? Or shouldn't we try to draw people in? Case in point, a few years ago when I was preaching in Indiana, we had a congregation that was right next door to us. And they called themselves a Church of Christ also. And some of the members had asked me a question. They said, well, you know, what do you think about all this? I said, well, it's kind of interesting that, you know, there's not 10 feet in between both buildings and there's two Church of Christ mentioned right there. I said, but then you start noticing some different things, because where we were at, we had about 60 or 65 folks coming on Sunday morning, and there next door to us, we had about 150, 200 people going to the building there. But then they also had on their outside, they had a sandwich sign kind of out there, and it showed, you know, different things going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, it shows, well, we're having this and this, we're having food, we're, you know, having all these different types of activities, which, you know, again, you know, you think about it, you know, yeah, we should be spending some time together, but, you know, some people think, well, we need a social gospel. We got to be able to offer these different types of programs and different types of things. Jesus pointed something out similar to this here in John 6. You know, what should we use in order to draw people to God? Should it be offering food? Or, you know, one of the big things when I was growing up, we'd have churches doing different types of festivals in our around our neighborhood. We're using that to be able to draw people in. What about offering other things like instrumental music? Church, you know, those things kind of make things sound a little bit better. Some people think, well, we need those things, but what does the Bible say? Our desire and focus is to be pleasing to God. Jesus, addressing this, told them, you know, there are many people that are following me, not because of the signs or the miracles or the words that I'm saying to you, but because you ate and you had your bellies full. Jesus trying to instruct and encourage those to not labor for food to perish, but again, focus on the words of eternal life. As you think about that with me just for a moment tonight, some people will say, we need this, we need that, or I like this, or I like that. That we need to have these different types of activities, or trying to enhance church service. You know, there's a congregation, you know, we have it going on here in Norwalk, I'm pretty certain of it. But you can go to other places. There, we lived out in Worcester for several years. Had situations where people were coming together and all of a sudden they had the music, the laser, you know, laser light show pretty much, and everything going on, drawing people in. They had a congregation of 10,000 people. I had a friend of mine who went to that and said, I don't even know what was going on, if that was even truly services or worship. But people said, well, we need those things to draw people in. The focus, when we think about the actions like that, is focused more on self. And there's dangers in focusing on self over in Matthew chapter 16. If you'll turn there to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Where we are not to be focusing, you know, on ourselves or what our desires are, what we want. We have to be focused on what God wants. We look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, as we think about that, promoting and desiring a social gospel is not a work of God. Many have their own desires, and Paul warned Timothy of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4, where people will heap up for themselves teachers. They're going to desire, want to hear many things, and if they don't get someone to say that, they're going to hire or get somebody to be able to teach them those things because their desire is to have their ears tickled and not on the desire of the gospel. It's unfortunate we see that going on in the world today, and we see the focus of self being more promoted than God. You know, if you're, you know, as you think about what's said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, if you're not willing to put God first in the matters of the gospel, we're not worthy of God. Because we think we need something more than what God has offered to us. We need to instead let our desire, let our focus be to please God and persuade men. Look with me if you would in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. And in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, you know, again, Paul is addressing this. He's writing to churches here in Galatia. And he says here in verse 10, who do I seek to please? Do I seek to please men or God? You know, that's a pretty important question in our life of who we're seeking to please. Are we looking to desire to please God, or are we looking to please man or persuade man? Do I seek to please men, as Paul goes on to say there? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You know, as Paul addresses himself here on the matter, he goes on to say, my focus needs to be on pleasing God. Because if I were to please men, I'd still be doing what I was doing, and that was try to stop Christianity. I try to do other things rather than pleasing God. Sometimes when we look at this, people will look at themselves. Say, well, this is what I want. This is what we need. You know, but kind of pushing God out of the picture, and as we look at the dangers of this, we're not to let our desire be on ourselves and what we want, what we're supposed to do. And my dad was mentioning this in that gospel meeting several times in his lessons throughout the week, was we've got to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves under the side of God. Let God be the one to do the lifting. Let Him lift us up. We look over in James chapter 4 and verse 7 down to verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10, where he says here, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Again, we are to let God, we're to humble ourselves in the sight of God. We are here to do His work, what He has asked us to do on the matter. We think about the dangers of the social gospel. We can think about how it leaves one with emptiness. We talked about these verses in our series of lessons on false doctrine here recently. I want to draw your attention back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. You know, when we try to promote the danger of it is that we leave one with more of an empty feeling rather than using the true bread of life. And one promotes something else, or trying to do something else, we're leaving one with false freedom. We're leaving one with false. We're leaving one with emptiness, as what Paul says here in verse 18. He says, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." Talk about empty words or an empty doctrine. Doesn't have the basic necessities or the true needs that we need in this life. Over in First Peter, chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 3, You know, as Paul is pointing out, or Peter's pointing out here, we got to be able to have the things in our life to be pleasing to God. We got to have the basic necessities to build ourselves up. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 3, he says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Again, as we think about this, we need to lay aside those empty words. We need to lay aside those empty doctrines. And it seems like more and more people are wanting to promote more of a socialized gospel. You know, I know some of us know this. Byron can attest to it. If you try to feed a cow straw instead of hay, what's going to happen? Yeah, the bellies are going to get full. But the next thing you know, they're going to fall over dead. Because they're not getting the basic needs that they need in this life. Such is the case when someone tries to use an empty type of doctrine. They try to fill someone up with some. Yeah, people might begin think they're getting filled with so much, but then they're dying on the inside. You know, we talk about a gospel of deception. We talk about being able to lay aside these things, but we talk about a gospel of deception in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 3. If you go back to 2 Peter. I know we look at 1 Peter 2, but let's look at 2 Peter 2, verse 1 down to verse 3. Where it says there, Peter writes, he says, there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Talk about social gospel. It's a gospel of deception. To the point of denying the Lord, denying what He has done for all of us. Again, people try to use these different types of empty doctrines, this social gospel, and it turns one away from God, and it's based on self. The truth will be blasphemed. It'll be rejected. And you see that going on in the world today. And it's unfortunate. And it's a sad state of affairs that this continues to go on. One is under the impression, under the social gospel, one is under the impression that this is needed to improve the church. But that is not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way God had intended. People think, well, we're getting more involved. One of my neighbors at the time, he had attended one of these congregations. And, well, you know, we're so involved with everything. And it's good to be involved with your brethren, but for what purpose? Are we doing it to try to increase knowledge, increase understanding of the gospel? Are we trying to focus more on self and get away from God, get away from the truth? There's a lot of danger. There's a lot of warning in the social gospel. But I want to talk about the benefits of the true gospel. What Jesus was pointing out there in John chapter 6 about how people were going because they were getting their bellies full. And here we have opportunity to be able to come together. And Jesus pointed out, you need to be here for the food that does not perish. For the bread of life. For the waters of life. The Word of God, the gospel message, does show that it can't complete us as individuals. Look with you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17, where Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we look at what the gospel message, the true gospel message, can do for an individual, we see that it shows that it can complete us. That the man of God may be complete. Again, we are equipped. We are prepared. We're prepared and we're protected and being able to go and do and understand what our work needs to be on. It gives us insight on all spiritual matters. The Word of God gives us the things that we need concerning doctrine, concerning judgment, concerning correction in our life, concerning instruction that we need to give, and also be able to try to share with others. It completes the us as being children of God. Can't get that from the social gospel. Yes, you're not. You're not going to be able to get all these full benefits of what the Word of God does. You know, as Paul is with the Ephesian elders there in Acts chapter 20. If you go there to Acts chapter 20, looking specifically at verse 35. Acts chapter 20, and looking at verse 35. Acts chapter 20, and verse 35. The Word of God, the gospel message, also focuses, it does focus on ourselves, but it does focus on others in a different manner than what the social gospel would do. Paul says here, I have labored, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, Paul giving some words of instruction for the Ephesians to continue in their work, to continue in their efforts of spreading the gospel there in Ephesus. You've got to be able to support others. You've got to be able to support the weak. You've got to focus on others through the gospel message. It's more blessed to give than to receive, is what Jesus was pointing out. We're to give ourselves entirely to God. Give ourselves entirely to God. To be a living sacrifice, as we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is something that is acceptable to God and a reasonable service on our behalf. We're to love God with everything. Because we look at the commands that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and verse 31. He says you need to love God first. First of all, the first commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. And then in verse 31, he goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you understand that you're to love God, and you love your neighbor as yourself, wanting them to have these same benefits through the gospel message. The Word of God leads to fit. The Word of God, we see the benefits of God, then it leads us being truly fit with the things that we need to be pleasing and acceptable to God. So we go back to John chapter 6 and verse 35 down to verse 40. John chapter 6, verse 35 down to verse 40. John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all has been given to me, and I should lose nothing, but should raise up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We should seek the Lord. Not our own personal desires, not our own personal ways, but seek the Lord and be fit. God offers the food and drink that we need for our soul to survive. Jesus was saying, here I am right here, but you're not still willing to believe. If you're willing to come to me, if you're willing to believe in me, and that word believe is not an acknowledgement, it is a desire to obey. It's an action form that takes more than just what some people believe what the word believe is. But God offers what we need in this life. If you're willing to obey me, if you're willing to come to me, you will not be denied. You'll be supplied things, but you've got to come to me. We see where the part comes
on what we need, on focusing on ourselves and being able to do those things that God has asked us. Jesus Christ leaves you full and whole. Again, gives us the things that we need for our soul to survive. The benefits of the gospel is that it is a way of truth. The way of truth. If you go over to John, if you go a few chapters ahead in John 14. John 14, verse 1 down to verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 1 down to verse 6. It says, let your heart not be troubled. It says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The benefit of the gospel is that it is the way of truth. That it is the way Jesus has prepared. It is a place where He is the truth and the life. And we as individuals, and Jesus says right here, you can know this way. By coming to me. By believing in me. By following me. And you can know the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Through the gospel message. Again, it comes through obedience. Jesus said over in John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32, that we can know the truth. We can know the way of truth. And what can the truth do to us? The truth can set us free. It can set us free from sin. Such a gospel can't do that. But the true and living gospel that Jesus Christ has provided can help us know the way. So as we think about this, just for a few moments tonight, do we need this? Do we need a social gospel? Again, Jesus speaks of the things we need. We know that we need to have our bellies full. We need to be able to have food and water for our physical body to survive. But is that the first thing we need to be focused on? See, you need to focus on things pertaining to the bread of life that does not perish. The drink, the waters of life, they will continue to flow. Jesus' purpose was not to try to entertain, as what some people want to do. His purpose was to seek and save the lost. To teach all men everywhere to repent. And to what? To believe in the Gospels. We look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Jesus came to come and deliver the gospel message, to teach about repentance, to teach about change. And how is that coming through? The gospel message, the kingdom of heaven, as we look, was at hand when Jesus said these words. His first purpose wasn't to physically feed people. It wasn't to heal the sick. Yes, He did those things. Yes, He showed and proved that He was the Son of God and is the Son of God. His first and foremost purpose coming into this world was to seek and to save the lost. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. We read a little bit more about this. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He's speaking to Zacchaeus here. He says in verse 10, the Son of Man. He said, I'm coming to your house in verse 9. Salvation has come upon this house. For the Son of Man has come, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was what Jesus, and that is still today Jesus' purpose. And we see how that has been passed on to us to be able to share the gospel message. Because what does God expect from us? Can social gospel provide this? No. We need to put away the foolish things and turn to God. Our focus, again, our focus on the matter is to go and preach and teach the things concerning the gospel message. To preach and teach to others about the hope of salvation that can lie in store for all people. Again, Jesus speaking to His disciples, to His followers. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. That's where our focus needs to be on. Again, following the example of Jesus Christ. So again, do we ask questions? Do we need a social gospel? Well, social gospel provide what would the entertainment behind it all? The answer is no. However, God's Word does provide what we need in this life. Provides us the way and the knowledge and the understanding to be able to have that hope of eternal life. We have the instruction, the correction in our life, the doctrine that we need, the measuring stick, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What we got to do with it is be able to take it to heart and diligently seek God. A verse that simply puts that word in the test, puts what we need to do to the test. It's found over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We understand on the first part of that verse, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. We understand that. We cannot please God without faith, but notice the second part of it. He who comes to God must believe. All right, so we see that faith, beginning working part of that faith. So we've got to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Again, we see that word put into action. The gospel message provides us the establishment and the understanding of our faith, but then goes on to show us how we can be pleased, how we can diligently seek Him and be found in His sight. We've got to obey. We've got to present ourselves approved to God. We've got to take God's Word, and we've got to be able to rightly divide. To present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We see the benefits of the gospel message, the true power of the gospel. Do we need social gospel? No. But there are many people who believe that we do. We need to have that entertainment value. But that's not what our focus is. Our first and foremost focus needs to be on seeking and serving God and using the gospel message. Over in 1 Peter, I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We see the power of the gospel message. We see that we're to be doing things according to God's Word. We're to be able to speak and do things according to God. We look here in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. That is found through the gospel message. If there's anyone that needs to answer the invitation call tonight, we want to extend that now. Because through the gospel message, we receive instruction on what we need to do to be saved. How to become a Christian. If you haven't done that tonight, we want to extend that offering now to you to make your life right with God. If you're subject to the invitation and you realize that you're living in sin and you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism tonight, we'll be glad to help you, to encourage you to make your life right with God and remain faithful to Him always. We can find that in His work. Maybe tonight you have fallen away from God and you need to have your soul restored and you're needing the prayers of the brethren here. We'll be glad to pray for you. Or maybe just need prayers and encouragement. We're about to sing the invitation song. If there's anyone that's subject to invitation who needs to make their life right with God, the time is now to make your life right with Him. And we can find it through the gospel message, not the social, but the gospel message on what we need to do to be saved. And if we can help anyone, encourage anyone, pray for anyone, let me know how we can assist. You have a seat on the front. You can do it now, walk together while we stand and while we sing.